Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, May 3rd, 2026. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Lebanon. All right, we're at episode 337, 337, where today we'll be talking about, today is just going to be another mental health check. I do that frequently, but it's a frequent theme on this podcast. But I'll explain when we get to the final thought of today's episode. But before we do that, let's start with some quotables and some randomness. All right. Okay, I still feel the need to say that this podcast is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Record Lebanon as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Listener discretion advised. All right, first quotable. Dear mama, don't worry, I'm a watch for snakes. Tell Setu that I love her. But it's hard today. I got the letter that she sent me and I cried for weeks. This is what came out when I tried to speak. All I heard, time goes by, puffing on lie, hoping that it gets me high. Got a nigga going crazy. Next one is, I feel I'm really losing it. I need to write to Abby. The characters on TV try to reach right out and grab me. I always hear somebody talking about they gonna do me. But I listen again, and it's those voices talking to me. You heard of shadow boxing, I see mine and then attack it. Please, doctor, please put me in a straight jacket. Shout out to Cool G Rap. First one was Tupac, this one is Cool G Rap. And the last one, if you know the words, sing along, but don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes that makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes that makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Message!
All right, that's it for quotables. Let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Right, why did I put this in order? All right, so, random. first one I'm going to talk about, a post that got under my skin today. And what happened is there's this mediocre white comedian. I'll consider putting the link. I'm really not trying to give this person any props or any acknowledgement, but what happened is there's a comedian out there, like all of them, right? Like the white comedians who their biggest gimmick stick is pissing off the libs, and they have an audience for that. I get that, but they don't get hard unless a lib is annoyed or angry, reacts angry to their jokes. Like, it's not enough to make your audience laugh. No, you need the satisfaction that you piss somebody off. And the post is what it is he took a picture of a woman with a unpleasant face, to say the least. Basically, a face of what the fuck is this? Basically, you could tell she's not having a good time. Or at least in that particular picture frame, she's not having a good time. And he purposely zoomed in on her face. And he posted the skit, the part of his set where he addresses the woman. And the caption wrote, "She's triggered." But the part that got under my skin was the fact that I was aware of this comedian. And this was at the time, it was the second time I've heard of him. The first time I heard about him, he was making a joke about the death. He had a joke about the death of Minneapolis. What was her name again? He was making a joke about the death of Renee Good. And it went viral, and, you know, for all the wrong reasons. And it went viral. But I remember that was my first introduction to him. And then I saw this clip of him saying she's triggered. And it bothered me because I hated the whole... It bothers me when comedians blame the audience for the fact that they made a joke that someone didn't find it funny. If you want to, you know, the professional thing or the mature thing to do is move on. Accept that, hey, my people love this shit. She doesn't. It's like the guy who takes it personal because some girl rejected them. It's like, you know, I mean, part of, if you want to be a pickup artist, part of being a pickup artist is accepting the fact that not every woman is going to feel you. Narcissism. Anyways, I give you this long story that I went from annoyed and I turned it into, I went from annoyed to writing down what I was feeling and then turning that into an email to the 3GO podcast. And I'm going to read you what I sent them. And I sent it to them because they're comedians. And aside from talking about current affairs or whatever's going on in their life, but they also talk about life as a comedian. And I just wanted to get their take on it. But anyway, so I'm going to read out the email I sent them. And this was my, oh my God, this was my attempt to, it did good. Writing an email helped me it helped me go from fuck that guy to, oh, this is what, to flesh out what I was actually feeling. And here goes. It goes, what up, 3GO fam? I came across this clip that got under my skin and wanted to get your thoughts. I might be doing you a disservice by giving this guy attention. His whole thing is seems to be piss off the libs. It's not really about him. I guess this is the part that I want to emphasize. It's not necessarily about him. It's the kind of... All right, let me just read it. It's not necessarily... It's not really about him, though. It just reminded me of a pattern I've seen before. A comic doesn't get the reaction they want, locks in on someone who isn't laughing, and flips it into you're triggered or are too sensitive. Yeah, I hate that when that's your cop-out. Like, it's a fucking cop-out. I've always hated that move. That's not pushing boundaries. That's avoiding the work. That's not pushing boundaries. That's avoiding the work. Honestly, the funniest part about that clip is her face and how he's the one actually triggered while having a Jamie Foxx, I am your conscious moment. If you haven't seen that Jamie Foxx clip, I am your conscious, where he roasts the fuck out of another comedian. It's hilarious. I'm not done here. What got me is how familiar it felt. It brought me back to my time doing comedy and dealing with certain white male comedians who were mediocre at best, but still had influence over who got booked. That's the part that never sat right with me. The entitlement to laughs, combined with the ability to shape opportunities even when the material isn't there. And then those same comics turn around and complain that comedy is dying. To me, that's the problem. I've stopped going to some comedy club shows partly because of this. There's always a chance someone like that will be on the lineup. Anyways, curious to hear what you think. If you want to see the clip, here it is. Fair warning, it may annoy you as much as it did me. Anyways, appreciate y'all. Anyway, so I'm not going to play the clip because, again, so the dude, he's reacting to, the clip is the dude, the comedian, reacting to the woman in the audience not laughing at his jokes. And the beauty in there is he goes from, oh, is what I'm saying bothering you? She just gives a, she just gives pure silence, gives her nothing to work with, just sheer silence. And that's actually what makes it entertaining, because he's like fishing. He's like, well, here's your time to talk. Oh, you want to complain about it? But you got kids. You want to go? And then, yeah, he threw in a rape joke. He threw in, again, it's, I'm caught between, I know he has an audience, but I'm annoyed at the fact that this motherfucker's on my timeline. Hey, it got under my skin. I let him have it. You know what I mean? He won that one. But that's his whole gimmick. That's his whole, you know, all I know is he's the reason, go back to what I said in the email about that Tawab, don't like going to comedy shows. Even less because of people like that, the possibility that an asshole like that will be in the lineup. Because club owners like that shit. Look, man, these motherfuckers are just trying to sell liquor, overpriced liquor and food. And they're just trying to get your ass in there. And they know that kind of humor sells. Yeah, that dude's also another reason why, yeah, white comedians, you guys have to work extra hard. You need to be exceptional for me to like. White comedians got to work twice as hard to make to get half of the result a black comedian would make. Because I'm expecting you to be on some fuck shit. As soon as I realize you're not on some fuck shit, you're really about the craft. You're really about comedy. Then I'm like, yes, okay, I'll listen to you. Anyways, I should probably say that. This clip that he posted kind of backfired in a sense that it has gone viral, and not just gone viral, but the people commenting, replying to his post are like turning on him. They're like, I don't think she's triggered. Sounds more like you're the one who's triggered. And like the jokes are like really, really good. But it's interesting. I honestly, I did not expect that kind of, this outcome. I was expecting him to, oh, she's triggered, fucking libs, I win, you know. Damn, libs are the reason why comedy is dead. Nah, because you mediocre-ass comedians out there get upset when people don't laugh at your stupid jokes. Damn. All right. You know what? I can even go into Dave Chappelle about this shit, man. He couldn't let go of those trans jokes. To him, it was his entitlement to, look, in my mind, I'm making a joke that's funny, so you should laugh. And because you're not laughing, well, comedy's dead. You guys are a bunch of punks, a bunch of chumps, a bunch of pussies, whatever, man. All that shit. As opposed to be a comedian. Be a fucking comedian. You know? I can't remember the name of the comedian who said that, but comedy's about being able to getting away with it. You make the joke. You don't force your way out of it. You make a joke. If it's inappropriate, the success is, despite the fact it's inappropriate, people still laughed. Granted, how does it work? If half the audience laugh and the other half doesn't laugh, is it successful or unsuccessful? You know, I mean, I'm saying all this shit while also understanding the intricacy of comedy, the complexities of comedy and whatnot. But all I can say is, I don't like to fuck that guy. I really don't like that guy. I mean, he's making his money. He's an audience. But on a personal level, fuck him. I respect you making your money as a comedian. But, there's a part where, you know what? I will get to that if I remember. There's a skit that I just saw where he's making fun of what was the joke is, you know, if people are telling you to kill yourself, you should kill yourself. I mean, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. But that's it. Fuck that guy.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Two women sat at my bar today and they were spilling some tea that made me have a powerful realization. One of them was talking to the other, and she was talking shit about a lot of the stuff the men in her life had done. And I got the impression that she didn't like men very much, and so I kind of kept my distance. I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I think that's what a lot of men do when they hear that women don't like men. She tipped me $30 on a $60 tab. And to be honest, this is very consistent with the behavior that I've seen from misandrous women. They talk about how they don't like men, And then they do incredible things for men all around them. The realization that I had was that women who hate men hate what men have done to them, and men who hate women hate what women won't do for them.
What women won't do for them. All right. I played this clip, I guess. Let me acknowledge the content creator. His name is Streetlight Eyes Don't Lie. Oh, that's a cool-ass name. It's from Minneapolis. Oh, go figure. Streetlight Eyes Don't Lie. Cool, man. All right, you get a follow just for that. All right, and reason I connected, what he said resonated, but it's helping me. On the last episode, you've probably heard me say this in previous episode, I hate men. And I guess I should clarify what I mean by that, because it just sounds like I'm trying to copy a feminist or whatever. No, what he just acknowledged, it's like women hate what men have done to them, and men hate women for what they won't do for them. I think that's when I had that revelation, that's when all of a sudden all my everything feminism has been trying to communicate to the rest of us finally started to make sense. So when I say hating men, it's masculinity as the idea of masculinity. Yes, I'm a man, and it took me a while to realize that I don't have to reject masculinity. I can just be my own version of masculinity and be proud of that. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, it's been a challenge. It's been you know, it's fucked up when even your female therapist is like, whoa, 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 take it easy with the whole hate men thing. And this is the next part where we'll probably will likely kill my credibility or contradict me. No, not contradict me, but might kill my credibility. Is before this moment of enlightenment, I remember when I was those men who hated women for not doing what you wanted them to do for you. It's like, yes, one chick rejects me. Oh, I hate all, you know, one chick won't bang me. Then, oh, I hate all women. Because you guys just want the bad boys. You know what I mean? I was that guy. I used to be that guy. I used to be the toxic male who, and whatnot. But it's more the idea of, it's more realizing that how the pendulum swung. I went from hating one gender to hating another. Now, just again, just to be clear, that's why I realized I got to be specific there, right? But it's, when I say I hate the gender, it's the masculinity. It's who society expects us all to be. Just one definition of masculinity. The fuck you doing, the fuck you doing talking about your feelings? The fuck you doing admitting you're sensitive? The fuck you mean you ain't got a whole bunch of bitches? You know what I mean? It's like being uncooperative with the opposite sex. That's what masculinity is. Being an asshole to the opposite sex and being a bigger asshole when they call you out on it. So, whoa, no, not all men. You know what I mean? Anyways, it's frustrating. But shout out to homeboy and for those words of wisdom.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, last randomness is I'm going to talk about how I, this interesting take that I took this weekend is, so on Netflix, there's a new TV series called Men on Fire. And let me try to sound like a regular podcast. I forget the name of Men on Fire. What's important is how initially I didn't think I was, I remember seeing the trailer for it because I saw the movie, seeing the trailer for it. I'm saying, I'm not going to like this bullshit. And then I watched episode one. I'm surprised I made it through episode one. I watched episode one. I'm like, this is bullshit. I know I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to like it. By the end of it, I'm like, okay, let me see episode two. Let me see episode three. And I got to give props to, so I just Googled Men of Fire, and it brought up the Denzel Washington version, which I did like, but the TV series one is the name of the actor I need to acknowledge because I honestly didn't think he'd pull it off because I'm a dick like that, is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, the second. You know, I've never known his name. I just knew him for the most memorable role he's ever played for me was when he played in God damn it. You were in Aquaman? What the fuck? Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen Wonder Man. Oh, right. He was in The Matrix, though. That was the one. It was when he did The Watchmen. Cal Akbar or Mr. Universe was the name of it. I'm going to fuck up that dude's name. Yeah, I loved his role as the fuck was that guy's name, the superhero name? Cal Akbar was Dr. Manhattan. Jesus Christ, that took me. All right, Dr. Manhattan. Brain doesn't work like that. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is, one thing I remember about liking about Man of Fire, Denzel Washington, he had some cool ass line. He just had some lines that just made me like his character. And this guy is doing the same thing too. So all this to say that Man of Fire, yeah, okay. If there's only 7 episodes. I made it to I finished episode 3, about to start 4. And one thing I will say is I had a moment of realization that, so needless to say, it's an action-packed movie. It's an action movie, and there's violence in there. And, and needless to say that Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, he plays a badass. He plays a badass, right? And but it was more so the whole, if you're a badass, you're using violence, you're always using violence to solve problems. And I'm like, I feel like I watch these shows. Anytime I watch a show where the main character, the main male character is a badass who uses violence to like solve their problems. Every time I'm watching that, I'm like, fuck, I need to be more like him. There's a part of my brain that's like, damn, that's why I get no bitches. Because I talk my problem out. I use communication skills to resolve conflict. I want to be the guy who like says, hey, your TPS is late. Sorry, bud. Pow. I'm kidding. But I just caught myself having a moment of, I need to be a badass more like him. You know what I mean? I'm just, yeah. I have like childish thoughts when I have it, when I watch these shows. Yeah, that's it. That's it, gang.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This concludes randomness, quotable at randomness. We're going to jump into the final thought. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, today's final thought, I need to be very careful with this because I can get myself in trouble. Today's topic is, this is my version of don't push me because I'm close to the edge. Specifically the close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. So my point by acknowledging sometimes I feel like I'm close to, initially I was having moments where I was like, I think I'm going crazy. And it came to me when they were talking about the latest shooter in Washington. The latest shooter in Washington. Now, I didn't read the dude's manifestos, but the part that I heard about it made me say, I think I get it. Now, I am not trying to say get out there and go crazy, but I am saying that the people who are snapping make more sense to me than the people who are like, you just got to toughen up. You just got, you know, it's just the way it is. It's just I remember when I first started therapy, I told this, I'm glad that I was able to establish this with my therapist. It's like, so is the point of therapy just to like accept this fucked up world that we live in. Or accept that the world, and it's pretty much that's what it is. It's for people like me, it's, you know, if you're the sensitive type, it pretty much is, but at least there's an acknowledgement that shit is fucked up. That there's a lot of like, I think, this came to me also, this thought also, was also inspired by something, it was Annie from the 3GO podcast. He said to how the I'm going to paraphrase this, but it's as if this administration is like purposely doing shit to get under the minds of people who are close to the edge. It's like, I know I'm probably, this is probably a bad explanation, but it's like, look, man, I think this is when Trump got elected, I knew it was going to be a challenge for a lot of us. There's probably a lot of therapists, therapy as an industry probably went up, but there's a lot of us who will be spending our time keeping it together. I'm keeping it together, getting close to the edge, and realizing that you're... Look, I'm not going to preach to you about how, you know, stay sane, keep your head up, and whatever. No, I'm acknowledging it's fucked up out there. It's messed up. There's some of us out there who need to be more mindful when listening to current events. I have a lot of friends. Compatibility, or I know a lot of people, actually, including my parents in their house, have the television open, usually, at least when I was there, they would have the television open, and it's the news playing in the background. And my mother was always, it's like she was, like, always worried about, lock your doors, gotta be careful, always had some bad news, because you know the news isn't feeding positive. What I'm trying to say is, I don't think it helped. It didn't help. Because the news is, they make money off the fact that we react from negativity. That's got to say something about us. But where I was going with, it was common for me to be bombarded with bad news. But I also have friends and relatives who, they're constantly soaking up news, current affairs, especially the negative shit. Soaking it up and talking to you about it. But that's their way of processing the world out there. Now, I went along with it, but didn't pay attention to the fact that it took a toll on me. It would take a toll. Like, I used to think that I can handle it like everyone else. Sometimes I feel like it's the negativity in the world, it's like alcohol. And there are some people who, like, I can drink alcohol and say, okay, that's it. One drink, I'm good enough, I'm good to go. Like, I can gamble and say, oh, okay, lost, I'm leaving. But if there's some people that's like, nah, it's an addiction. Now, I'm not saying, I think for me, what I'm trying to say is, it's not that I'm addicted to bad news. I'm saying that too much of it, there's a certain amount before it starts affecting my mood. It starts fucking with my mind. It starts fucking with, I turn negative. I'm like, I'm doing a podcast episode about how I think I'm going crazy. Some of my favorite podcasts, it's dealing with current events. I gotta be mindful of that shit. Like, sometimes I gotta hit the pause button. As much as I love their content, as much as I wanna kick it with them, sometimes I can't consume it as frequently as most of their fans could. And my whole point is, it's okay. I think that that's the thing, is know thyself, is to be aware of your limits and working with that. So I'm not here to preach to you about how, oh man, if you're going crazy, you gotta back up. I'm saying, at the very least, being able to acknowledge that shit is getting fucked up. There's a that same comedian. Actually, I'm glad I wrote it down. That same comedian that I spoke about earlier in randomness. He there's a skit that I saw him. He was joking about. He said, "You know, fucking libs. They're the ones that how you can't say shit like go kill yourself because a lib will do that." Essentially, he's joking about the quote unquote liberal who's too fragile for this world. And there was a time I would have taken offense to it because I would have been, because I was in denial of the fact that I was a sensitive soul. But I'm listening to this dude talk, and to me, what fascinates me is how confident he is in his mental state. How confident that he won't one day be like, life can make. One thing I don't take for granted, or I at least try not to, is mental health. I've learned a long time not to take that shit for granted. It's very fragile. And but whatever. Maybe some folks just got better coping mechanism. Maybe some folks, whatever. But for me, I was fascinated at the idea that I would not make fun of someone, of the potential of someone killing themselves. Or someone, because it might happen to me. I mean, well, A, because it's cruel, but two is, like, I don't have that kind of confidence that I won't one day be that person who's on going viral, snapping, going crazy on a video because life is tough. Life is tough, man. That's what I'm trying to say. That shit can change like that. One day you're on top of the world, next day you're, what's that line? He goes, the world's on top of you. What's that line? He goes, I think it's Scott Adams. May he rest in hell. he had a line that goes, some days you're the pigeon. Some days you're the statue. And the next you're the pigeon shitting on the statue. No, some day you're flying like a pigeon. And sometimes you feel like the statue being shitted on by the pigeon. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm trying to say. I don't take that kind of shit for granted. I think I need to shout out, who's the name for protest on the bridge? Yeah, man climbs DC bridge and protest Iran war. His name is, protester remains on top of D.C. Frederick Douglass Memorial Bridge. I didn't know they had a bridge called Frederick Douglass, but whatever, man. You know, the people who like, there's another one here is Representative Angie Nixon. And what did she do? She like had a megaphone and she was protesting. Oh, the link doesn't work. God damn it. Yeah. She's in Congress and she got a megaphone yelling, this is a violation of the Constitution. And what she's protesting is the recent decision by the courts in the United States let me get the proper wording, gang. I had written it down. Yeah, she was protesting the recent Supreme Court ruling that weakened the protections against racial discrimination in voting maps, making it harder to challenge unfair district and potentially impacting future elections. So essentially what they did is they found a loophole, Project 2025? They found a way to like weaken the black vote. I gotta tell you, man, those Republicans are getting their bang for their buck with Trump. They can't hate the guy. They can't hate. He has made it possible for, they were on their way out. They were the party of unpopular ideas. And Trump has made it possible that, yo, don't worry, I'll make it easier for us to like win elections. That's why they're kissing his ass. He's doing for something for them that didn't think would be possible. But whatever, I'm out of it, right? Anyways, I bring this up because I remember when how I was hearing about the news and I was repressing it, trying not to think about it, because I knew that I got the details about it today, but I knew at the time that if I read about it, it was just going to send me in a state of depression. You know, I think that's the challenge for black parents is on one end, you're trying to have to let your child enjoy their childhood. But on the other hand, you want to prepare them for the cruel world they're about to. You want to prepare them to exist while being black. It's like, things are a little different for us. For me, on the other hand, is part of how I keep my mental state in check is I've been doing a lot of escapism. No, I don't do crack. Not yet. I'm not there yet. But I don't do crack or heroin. But I have gone into sci-fi fantasy books. That's my escapism. I need to take a break. You got to chill. I need to take a break from this madness. And that's how I go about it. Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts I've listened to less because I've increased the amount of time I listen to audiobooks. But again, this is the major takeaway from this, because I'm not preaching. I'm trying to say that I'm there. Yes, if you find yourself losing your mind, I'm not going to say it's normal, but I'm going to say that I'm with you on that. I get it. If you find yourself like this world is too chaotic, yes, I'm going to say that it's normal to feel that way. It's cool. The challenge is, what do you do next? I'm not going to tell you what you should do besides acknowledging it. I'm only telling you what I do. One is, like when I got this from my therapist, is you try to like convert that energy into something that won't get you killed, arrested, or that won't hurt other people or hurt yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like if you can just whatever output you pick, as long as it doesn't like you're not hurting yourself or others. Maybe hurting other people's feelings. Like bad people. Like I like the idea that Trump is his feelings are hurt when people keep associating him with the Epstein. I like when bad people's feelings get hurt. I don't want them to be physically hurt. No, I don't want them. But I wish it was enough to get them to be like, let me rethink my philosophy. But I'm a dreamer. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. This is, yeah, man. Time goes by, puffing on lie, hoping that it gets me high because they got a nigga going crazy. All right, thank you. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed talking about it. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who, when they heard the first album by Outkast, and they got to the track where Big Rube asked the question,
"Are you an outcast?"
They said, "Yes, I relate to all y'all." Again, this episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, like a liberal as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.